kind of what it is. I sense what that may be. Hi, you're the Lake. This is Talking Cheap, your friends and neighbors network. It's Tuesday. Thanks for joining me today. It's 1340 KYNX, your news station. And you say to yourself, Bill, where did it go? What happened? I think someone's playing a trick on me. All right, so here's the deal. Let's get down to business. And here's the first business of the day. I'm going to tell you this one. We have now a new football lexicon. Unofficiating.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company, and we love where we live. We are your neighbors. We are How'd You Sleep Last Night? Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep. Ready for perfect? Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic. We have them all and more, at every price. Free delivery, free setup, free haul away, every day. Paso, San Luis Obispo, Idlers.net. Idlers Sleep Source, best prices guaranteed.
California is number one in a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share, property, and casualty insurers in California.
That's right. That's actuary tables. They have all those numbers and information. They have those insurance people. They have everything. All right. It's your bill. It's time for our Highline History right here, according to the Tribune. Highline History, according to the Tribune. Foster Brooks and I are going to do the highlight of history. On September 25th, in 1789, the first United States Congress adopted 12 amendments to the Constitution and sent them to the states for ratification. Two of the amendments became the Bill of Rights. On this date, in 1957, nine black students who had been forced to withdraw from Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, became, because of unruly white crowds, were escorted to class by members of the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division. They did the best for them, we did. 1911, the ground was broken before Boston's Fenway Park. I'm going to do our thought for this. Ian McLeod said, history is too serious to be left to historians. There you go. Our birthday today, broadcast journalist Barbara Walla is 83, and Michael Douglas is 68, model Cheryl Tease is 65, actor Will Smith is 44, and actress Catherine Zeta-Jones is 43 today. Happy birthday to them and to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Here's some news right here from tacosnews.com today, and let me tell you what's in the lead off story right here. Congressional candidates Ann Maldonado and Lois Capps debated at a forum in Lompoc yesterday so that showed them what they were made of. Maldonado, Republican former lieutenant governor, said he was focused on the economy, jobs. Maldonado said this is my number one priority, growing the economy, and if there's a piece of legislation that creates jobs, then I'll be voting aye, and if there's a piece of legislation that hurts the economy, I'll be voting, it should be nay. But no, he put. Capps, a Democratic incumbent who has been in the House of Representatives since 1998, said she is helping grow the economy by providing support for small businesses. It's tough to hire when you're a small business in this kind of economy, so I voted 18 times for tax cuts for small businesses, making it more affordable for them to go out there and do the hiring, which is what they will allow as a small business, and so therefore she helped him. Capps, I don't know if he thinks that. Capps also said investments in infrastructure and clean energy stimulate the economy as well as job creation in the high-tech sector. Maldonado has been criticized by members of his own party for voting with the Democrats on tax increases while in the state Senate said he would not rule out siding with the opposing party again in Washington. The Democrats have a good idea, I'm going to vote for that idea. Maldonado said if they have a bad idea, I will vote no on that. Did you learn much from this debate, Mr. Mayor? In recent months, Maldonado has backed out of the several speaking and debate appearances. Some wonder whether that has to do with the history of voting against his own party. Maldonado and Capps are competing for the seat of the withdrawn 24th Congressional District, which consists of San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties and parts of northern Ventura County. And was it Friday the debate? Saturday? Friday? The Daily Tribune is another bacon. Okay, it's in the papers. I'll find it and tell you what it is. You guys are going to have another debate. So it's going to be at the Tribune. So I'll see if I get time right now. I'll see if I get my ducks in a row here. By the way, there's a round two, part two of the story of the Paso Porn King by Danny Blackburn, and I'm not going to get into it today. But you can certainly go to calcosnews.com and you can get into it if you want to. Full body scanners to stay at Seoul Airport despite possible risks. Despite growing privacy and safety concerns over airport body scanners, the Transportation Security Administration has no plans to replace the existing devices at San Francisco County Regional Airport, where they just found out there was an airport. The TSA awarded two contracts last week as part of a $245 million program to test new scanners before they enter airports. TSA spokesman Nicole Melendez said the agency installed full-body scanners at the San Luis Airport 8 months ago, and that now the program does not indicate those devices will be replaced. They're testing the next generation, as a matter of fact, he said. While critics argue that the current body scanners invade individual privacy by allowing screeners to see underneath clothing, Melendez said of all the privacy issues were resolved by getting rid of remote screening rooms and making scans viewable by passengers. So just more people can now see you naked. Melendez also said full body scanners pose no safety risks, yet the European Union recently banned the X-ray body scanners due to concerns that they could cause cancer. And a pro-public investigation determined that radiation from the full body scanners could indeed lead to cancer. Do mind you, don't fly. Where are you going anyway? Stay home. All right. Other things in the news today. Slow to develop, as these stories are sometimes. Okay. San Miguel man was stabbed at by aggressive party crasher on Monday night, San Luis County Sheriff's official said, during a party for the a 19-year-old. Who was slated to leave for the Air Force the following day, John Richard Dacey arrived uninvited and began arguing with Dilba's father. The fight, who was Dilba? Oh, Benjamin Dilba was for him, 19-year-old Benjamin Dilba. The fight escalated with Dacey punching the elder Dilba several times. Benjamin Dilba grabbed a knife before confronting Dacey and responded by punching him. Dilba then stabbed Dacey in the abdomen. Emergency medical personnel transported DC to a service to the Regional Medical Center. Deputies arrested Dilba for assault with a deadly weapon and booked him into the San Luis Obispo County Jail. And that's what's happening on CalcosNews.com at 12:14 on the 25th of September. I'm Bill Lincoln reporting. Thank you.
CalcosNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right. Hi, Bill Lincoln, Talker Chief. Here's the deal. Let's get through this, and then we can get rid of it. We can be done with it and say, okay, let's move on to other things, because there's only so much you can do. And that's what happened last night at football game. Well, here's the headline in the paper. That senseless in Seattle. But here's what they found out, because they reviewed the whole thing, and they realized that there was an infraction before the pass was ever thrown. So the big to-do is the fact that, who caught it in the end zone, and it obviously looked like it was caught by Green Bay. And then a guy from Seattle got his arm in there, and anyway, the whole thing was really crazy. So the clock expired, and was upset. Then the other thing that's happening right now is, where's the story I was going to tell you about? Okay, right here. Replacement refs put the game at risk. So here was this article by Jim Litke on football. Anyway, he says they can't control the players or the coaches, and both are playing them for suckers. Remember the warning the league sent out last week threatening to fire anyone who abused the officials? It was treated like a dare to do just that. Some people followed people into the tunnel swearing at them. Earlier in the same another game, the hometown fans rendered their verdict on officiating by yelling one word so long and so loud it can't be repeated. That's the loudest manure chant I've ever heard, Al Michaels said. Anyway, I will say this: they are I don't know what they're going to do. The calls are not right. There are calls that should be made. As a matter of fact, this guy Hayward Bay that had a concussion from a helmet contact. He's out of hospital. He's doing okay. But that wasn't called. You know, so there are a lot of things are not going well as far as this whole thing with referees. And now people may, because it's become a little bit, how do I say this, unofficiated. It's become a little bit unofficiated so that, people can get away with a lot of stuff. It really is what it seems like. And so everybody's, trying to get away with lots of stuff. And so it makes for a very interesting game. There's actually no one's own rules, really. You can't call it football anymore. That wouldn't be fair. NFL would appreciate it. So anyway, the whole thing's they're going to come. So then you have this Division II guys, and they're officiating. And I said this the other day. I said, can you imagine what it was like when Cal Poly was Division II, and we had these same things go on all the time. I mean, every game after game, year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month. That was very good. And basketball, same thing. So I don't know exactly, and I don't want to be unfair about this because I don't know how to be fair about it. But here's the thing: I don't know what the officials do or are, or I guess they're part time. I would imagine if they're Division II, probably Division I, maybe part time. Just I don't know if they pay officials. I don't know if they pay officials. I don't know how it works. Anyway. There's openings. If you want to be an official, whether or not you've ever done it before, or you're in a football game, which position is open right now, you can probably get into. Cal Poly is ranked for the first time since 2010, and this is hard. It's really hard. I mean, can I say this? It's really hard to get excited when you have this kind of ranking. But it's not to say you shouldn't get excited. I mean, it's possible to get excited. It's just that you're going to have a hard time getting real excited because Cal Poly is ranked now number 4 o'clock is our time, and you're in the building. Tuesday, weather wizard says it's going to be a little milder today, 72 degrees. It's going to be in San Luis Obispo, different than North County, different along the coast, because that's how we live. Anyway, but 60s along the coast, and then right around the 80s in North County. That's a guess. I got that. I'm looking for that right there. All right, here's a big thing right here. Here's a tearing down in part of Chinatown here. The Shanghai Lo Chop Suey restaurant in the inner block of Palm. This is the Palm Theater. It's no more. They mushed it down. They switched it, killed it, beat it to death. Good to them. So Chinatown now consists of three buildings. Is that correct? Well, I guess they consider the parking garage part of Chinatown, but I don't know why. It doesn't look Chinese to me. Anyhow, so you got the Aoi store. You got what used to be Chung's, which is the real estate or anything. And you got the Palm and the little place next to it. That's what they were doing. Now, they did say the sign, on the building. So the original neon chop suey sign that had been perched on the roof of the building, they said, okay, we're going to hang on to that just to be, have fun. So Shanghai Lo will have a sign that says chop suey. But here's a big project to start. So I'm really excited to keep the Palm on Palm. Cinema fingers. So. And let me mention a thing, if I may, even though I haven't come to the name for the art show yet. But here's the deal. Jim D. will be on Friday at right around 105. And then we will be going, starting in October, we will be going to Thursdays. We'll be doing it on Thursday. Because we can't have a problem more on Thursday. See, Friday, then the film's supposed to come in, and sometimes it does not film anymore. It's a disc. Maybe that digitalis, whatever it is, supposed to come in, and sometimes it's late like it was last week. So we said, well, why don't we do this Thursday? I don't have to worry about that. Oh, okay, so. All right, so next week's is going to be Friday. Okay, next week's Friday. Family details missing woman case. Relative of Sudan Smith says, in action by the sheriff's office near Led Smith, Louisiana. Can I say this, and I say it in a respectful way, the sheriff's really screwed this one up. They really did. They found an abandoned car, there was a registration in it, they have a missing person. The two and two should have been put together, they should have been fine looking for this person, and they weren't. So, you know, she was found by a guy on the barn, in the barn, 3 days later. So she was close to them. So that's, so here's what you want to assume, and this is what I think Sheriff Parkinson should do. Sheriff Parkinson should now appear before the public and say, this is what we're doing to remedy this. This apparently is a problem, and this we have a problem, and this is what we're going to do to fix it. Because people always feel better if you know somebody fixed it. Hey, you don't know you're lost out there, you're still lost, you know. So many things to find out. Yeah. State politics temper governor's big ideas. Did you think that was going to happen? Do you think perhaps the people that run for president of the United States have the same problem?
I'll straighten out everything, by God. Everything will be good. And it's not. You know, it's not.
And part of the problem is you don't even know what left curves are coming at you. So you have an incumbent like President Obama, and he's going, well, this is what I think I can accomplish the next 4 years. You have the EU that's falling apart. You know, I mean, you don't know to what degree it is going to fall apart, and as it falls apart, as it goes, so we go. And so you can say, okay, we're doing all the right things, you know, but guess what? There's outside factors that are going to control what happens. And same thing for Mitt Romney. I mean, you don't promise these things, you don't say, I hope I can accomplish this. But, you know, who knows? Plus, I'm not even talking about the infighting they have in the Capitol and everything. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about partisan politics. But that's another huge issue, too. But okay, let's not worry about that. All right, reading scores on SAT sink the lowest in 40 years. Holy cow. Let's see if I can read this. National reading scores on the SAT college entrance exam have sunk to the lowest point in 40 years. I just told you. The college-bound senior dropped to 496 points, down 1 point from last year, 34 points from 1972. Each of the SAT's three sections, critical reading, writing, and mathematics, has scored on a range of 200 to 800. So when you're down, way down there, but it's not good. So then you will have a story in the paper tomorrow. I haven't seen or had one tomorrow, but then you have a story in the paper the next day, and they go, the test scores in the high schools are really great. But I will tell you this. It's going to start to make a difference. Here's another thing that's going to be on the economic horizon. Ultimately, this is going to churn out another problem, is if you have kids that aren't good in some area of their SATs, and therefore, consequently, they're probably not going to get into state university or major university. The whole idea of community college was to offer remedial classes so that they can get up a snuff. Well, they're saying nowadays, community college is saying we don't have money for it. Okay? If you're not smart to begin with, and if you're not sharp and know where you're going, well, we don't have any use for it. I think I might make a difference myself. We'll see. Alright, do I have, here's the thing, because I remember this case years ago when I was at a radio station, I used to interview the district attorney every week, and this was a huge story, it was in the news back then. But here, Lon Allen's talking about, and all my life I've feared the death penalty, I always believed it turns crime, that execution is cheaper than life sentences, and timely application of death penalty offers relief and assess of justice to serving victims' families. So he said, I still hold that frame of mind, but, Prop 34, so things have been really weird, and I'm not sure, where it's going. But what's going to happen is there's going to be some meetings, two seminars coming up. The first is going to be at Sydney, at Sunday at 7 p.m. at Oak Creek Commons on Nicholas Avenue, Paso. Guest panelist, Jay Adams, PhD, fellow psychologist for 10 years with California Men's College Experience. A death penalty opponent, activist for 50 years, Jamie Carl, a survivor of a violent crime and now a teacher at San Quentin, and Todd Parker, former deputy chief agent for the LA FBI. So anyway, they're going to have these meetings and all that stuff. He said, I'm interested in learning more about the whole Sunday before me. Attorney Janet Reno has quoted in materials IRC from the Yes on Prop 34 saying, I have inquired for most of my adult life about studies that might show that the death penalty is a deterrent. I have not seen any research that would substantiate that. He said, I remember a crime here in Atascadero where two young people had just been killed. Their small children protected by their mother's body. I was glad when the killer was convicted and sentenced to death. That was almost 30 years ago, and I think he deserves it, but he's not dead. And that was the Rainwater case. That's the one I was talking about 30 years ago. was a sad thing about another county. Anyway, I'll give you a couple more later. My guy was just a nut job. Anyhow, I've never seen a death penalty as a deterrent. I never really thought it was a deterrent. I thought it was equal justice under the law. You know, I thought it was a eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I thought it was justice. I thought it was the appropriate justice for someone who took somebody else's life. But I have to admit, the way the system is, it's not. You know, it's not. And where is it going to be? So, what's the point? At least take all the people that are saying Quentin's death row and put them in Pelican Bay. I mean, you know, make it as rough as you can. KCBX Radio host won the award. How cool. Tom Loomer, an Alabama-based travel journalist and KCBX Radio host of Audiolog, recently won first place in the annual conference of the Outdoor Writers Association of California, for God's sake. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good for him. I like when somebody local gets something done. You know what I'm saying? That's really great. Now, here's the thing you have to know about. This is the input here that you have to know. These are the, there was 18 people attended this Air Pollution Control District meeting, and they would like to have more people turn out and be part of what's going on. So they're going to help set the goals for the next 5 years. There's seven goals. Okay, this is the APCD. This is the seven goals that we're going to have for the next 5 years. Comply with state and federal air quality standards. That's a really good idea, because if we don't, then, you know, we're in trouble. Build an informed public that values and works to protect clean air. And I'm doing the best I can, but I'm not sure what else I can do. Minimize public exposure to toxic air contaminants, which is a good idea also. Provide quality and cost-effective service, which is probably going to be impossible because the APCD has way too big a budget and people are making way too much money. So I don't know how it can be cost-effective. Promote land use policies that reduce air quality impacts, which can be an idea. Reduce local and regional greenhouse gas emissions and impacts, which sure can be done. Work with other agencies to achieve mutual goals and reduce conflicts. You have to have that. You know, you got agencies that fight amongst themselves, but they find each other. That's what happens in the long run. You got agencies that find each other. It doesn't make any sense. There are noble goals. Have that one air pollution gatherer thing that's way up in the North County, out there above the valley. Have that one. Take that one away. And then you won't have nearly a pollution control. You won't have nearly a pollution problem yet now. It's that one monitor that is actually picking up the stuff from the valley that makes passive liberals look so goofy. That would be my suggestion. You go to the next meeting, I can't make it, you know. So get rid of that one. That's goofing up the curve. All right. Sarah casts a broad shadow over international media, it says. Envoy says the war there is threatening the region, but he's working on a plan. He says he's working on a plan. I can just claim that 30,000 people died in the uprising that began in March 2011. So anyway, it's really bad. And then you have this guy over here, Ahmadinejad, says Iran is prepared to defend itself. It says, if Israel, the Zionists, think they can attack us, by God, we'll defend them. If the United States or anybody else thinks they're going to attack us, well, again. So, He's always been a pleasure to listen to. He's been at the UN, if you recall. Like, what? Okay. Why they invite him back year after year, I have no idea.
Greetings, fellow travelers and fellow students. This is the good doctor. I love this time of year. All those freshly young Western apologists, so full of life and other effervescent fluids. Takes me back to my old college days at Bowling Green University. Then my master's in red beans and rice. And my doctorate from Oklahoma State. I'm here to impart an important lesson to all you new students who won't find it in a textbook. Number one, your mama ain't here no more, and she ain't gonna cook you no homemade breakfast. Number two, the Ball Dog Grill Cafe has the best homemade breakfast in town and serves it till 2 p.m. And three, Ball Dog Grill Cafe loves you so much, just text the word Gator right now to 68255 and get a free fried green tomato appetizer, courtesy of the Ball Dog Grill Cafe, where we're not your mama, but until you head home with that sack of dirty laundry, we're all you got. $1,000 Street, San Luis Way.
like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
So I do a little Aretha today. Here's a strange and unusual tale, if I can get this thing to cooperate. And this will be a little bit of an advertisement in the beginning, but then we'll get to a story about Paula Deen. That's me.
Curb appeal? The answer? A lot less, because the great American fix-up is going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
She loves to cook, we know that, from her Food Network show and her restaurants. But in an exclusive video obtained by the New York Post, not only is Paula Deen the queen of Southern cuisine, she also may be the queen of the potty mouth. Thank
you. Thank you for eating all my work. It's not the nastiest meatball I've ever tasted. They smell like stinky. Cute.
Yeah. So where did that video come from? Well, listen to this. According to reports, producers of her show gave the blooper reel to the Celebrity Chef's Tour. Nadine wanted it shown before her appearances at a series of live cooking events. That's right. She wanted it shown. The tour refused to show it, calling it unacceptable. A legal battle began to brew, so Deen backed out of the 10-city tour. Both sides sued each other. The Post reports that Deen sued the promoter for more than $1 million. He countersued for more than $40 million. Settlement was reached earlier this month. The terms are confidential.
Yeah, they are. Okay, so there's Southern it's hospitality, I suppose, but it's a whole other way in the whole other world, and it's something. She wanted to show people, you know what, I'm down home. I guess, is that the right term? Well, I guess into the South, I tried to grow, I'm not sure about this. So, like, I don't know. Elsewhere in the news today, besides Paul Dean cussing the industry up there, we have other things going on. This is a fascinating story, I think. And that is these tiny apartments may come to San Francisco. Now, I lived in a studio in Scotland this size. I got to tell you the truth, and it had room for next to nothing. But anyway, we called it the box. But here, under a new plan in San Francisco, apartments could be as small as 220 square feet, or more than double the size of a prison cell. 220 square feet. What's that, 20 times 10, right? 20 feet by 10 feet. So go find 20 feet by 10 feet and run your house, measure it out, and that's what size of an apartment would be. And we'll have to have a bathroom, a kitchen, a living room, and a closet. You would be lowered from up above. There would be a special crane type assembly that would lower you into your space to live because there's no room to, for doors and stairwells. So that's how it works. Anyhow, so of course the people that are critics, there's always critics, are saying that the units wouldn't help families, which is true, and could boost population density, strain public transit and other services. You know, these questions are answerable. These questions are answerable. If we spend more money in our cities on surveys and, you know, find people that are hiring to be consultants and whatnot, I mean, we spend fortunes on it. And so you could, San Francisco, it's your turn, spend a fortune, find out how many units somebody's thinking about building, find out how many of those people would use public transportation, and then you would know the exact impact that it would have on public transportation, at least, you know, the theoretical exact. So, which is kind of an oxymoron, but nonetheless, you at least have some idea. You have to say, it could. Well, obviously it would, but would it have debilitating effects on public transportation? Doesn't say how many we're even going to build. Let's see if they said no, they just said that there was a guy who was thinking about doing it. And then, if you're living high on the hog, there's 300 square foot units planned for San Francisco's Tenderloin district. It has spare beds, beds to turn the tables. Everything has to, it's kind of like a motorhome. Everything's got to do two things. You know? And I wonder if that's what your bathroom would be like. You'd have to, you know, your bathroom would be one of those things where you have a toilet, and then when you put the top down, you take a shower in the same place. I have no idea. I don't know. Kind of fascinating, wasn't it? Because they say right now, San Francisco apartments rent an average of $2,734 in June, up 13% from a year ago. The micro units, in contrast, expect to rent for $1,200 to $1,500 a month. Wow. This was drafted by Scott Wiener. So I can fit in there. Anyway, it allows them to accommodate two people who require 100 square feet of space for each occupant above that number. So the ones that are a little bit bigger I don't know if it's doable, really, but they're saying it is doable. Okay. Because in order for a lot of people to pay $1,500, you know, they have to have more than one person in there. Really weird. Wild and crazy stuff, which we have all the time. I have some wild and crazy here on the show with you. Okay, ready? Now, see if this works, because it should. It should.
The Cycling Bears agent has a long list of demands. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Big Top circus owner Clyde Langley has wanted to book unicycling bear Bobo for years. But after meeting with the Bruins agent, he's now realized that hiring Bobo would mean special requirements and perks. Agent Keith Olford says his bear doesn't come cheap, and he's prepared to fight for every oversized chair and fruit tray.
Look, at the end of the day, this is Bobo, the unicycling bear we're talking about.
Langley says that while he would like to have Bobo in his circus, Alfred drives a hard bargain, and he'll probably pass and sign a cheaper bear. Roy Redlin for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
These are actually true stories, by the way, and that's Bobo the Happy Bear there. Okay, the unicycling bear, Bobo. Okay. I thought I'd fill it in for you, let you know what's going on. All right, now here's there's some stories in the paper that are like, holy cow, are you serious? All right, French winemakers want U.S. Chateau kept out. Let's get down to brass tacks here. They say American wine shouldn't use the regional word that has a major cachet. And so, Chateau de Pomo, or Chateau de Avila, Chateau de Edne. It's just not right, they say. Chateau is it's a region in France, and so if an American wine company wants it. Now, at this point, the American wine company that wants to do it is saying, well, it would be a premium wines. But eventually, Gallo and some of these other people, they'd be putting Chateau, Plastica on things, whatever. It wouldn't be that good. So now we got a lot of things going on with wine, you might notice. We have a huge grape harvest. That's wonderful. We have, we're trying to see if we should cap the bottles or cork them. Now we have the Chateau thing, and the people in France don't want any business with that. And so they say that. Because this is it's a Bordeaux wine they make in that region. Anyway. Now here's what I always love it when people come up with doublespeak. It's really fun. It really is. Here's some doublespeak. People use words in different ways. Ryan, America chief operations officer Gary Green told the AP, arguing there should be no ban on U.S. bottles carrying the word Chateau. People use words in different ways. When we say Chateau, in California, we mean a large house up in the mountains. That's what we're not talking about a region. Because we use words in different ways. When we're talking about Chateau, it's, up in, it's in Aspen or someplace like that. Okay, that's it. Okay, fine. That was really kind of weird. And then here's the thing that probably made you wonder if you're going to have an operation here in the next few days. I need to be one to turn your radio off. If you're about to have an operation, switch channels. Let's see. In surgeries, many sponges left behind. Some 4,000 surgical items are left inside people each year. Yet hospitals often use this new technology to keep track. Here's this person. This poor person has a sponge left behind. Listen to this. This is what's a little spooky. Trying to think of the last time they had an operation. This person had an operation, and 4 years later, a sponge that was stuck in her got all infected and nasty after she had a hysterectomy 4 years before. Anyway, and they had to take out a large segment of her intestine. She sued the hospital in 2009. She won $2.5 million. And the board has been appealed. Her life has been in tatters, wrecked by financial and health problems, as you can imagine. All right, so there's two ways that they could actually overcome this. Besides, what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to count how many go in and how many come out. They're supposed to do that, but apparently math. Doctors are very good at lots of things, and nurses, but perhaps math isn't their strong suit. It doesn't really need to be. So they have little radio, tiny little, grain-sized radio little doodads that could be on this thing, and then you could scan it, and if there was one left in there, it would tell the scanner, a little alarm, it would say, guess what, there's a thing in there. And then they could also do it, this is more difficult, but not the end of the world. It would have little barcodes on it, so you would scan it as it went in and scan it when it came out, and you'd know how many went in and how many came out. So, but that's, of course, you have to know that they didn't say there's 4,000 sponges left behind in patients each year. They said there's 4,000 surgical items. So they got fravastats they leave behind, they got sprominators, they got all these things that they leave inside of people, you know what I'm saying? Don't ask me how. You know the interesting thing about medicine and surgeries and all that kind of thing? People wake up some days. You wake up on a given day and you go, I'm not really in the mood. So you don't call in sick because you're not sick really. But you go to work and you're listless and you're not in the mood. You're just not in the mood. You can't be in the mood every single working day of your life. I don't care what you do for a living. You can't be in the mood every day of your life. So when a doctor's not in the mood, things are probably, you know, overlooked. But sure happens by feeling sensitive. Okay. Now here's another story that there's a strangeness to it that I'm going to explain to you why I think it's strange. And then you can say, well, no, that's not strange, it's normal, but I don't think so. Here's the deal. Firefighters recovered a body from a burned house yesterday as they raced winds to contain Southern California fires destroyed 20 homes and threatened several hundred more rural areas. So they found the body of a person. It's too soon to know the gender of the body found just before 2:30 p.m. inside a home in this one area. Now wait, are you ready for this? A man described as 18-year-old with one leg was living at the home and was reported missing by neighbors. How many legs did it have? If it has two, we know it's not him. If it has one, pretty good chance. Wow. Okay. I can't. I'm not that great at math either. But apparently, I'm better than some firemen, and apparently better than some doctors and nurses. Certainly, I'm so bad at it. All right, Hanford voted for all three of us. There's a number that I've actually come up with, and I've heard this now from enough places, enough times, and all that kind of stuff, and it amounts to less than 0.1% of all registered voters in any state. That's the amount of fraud, 0.1%. But the argument still is then, and of course it disenfranchises people when they have to, they say, you're a citizen, you come prove you're a citizen, and people get all torqued up. Okay, but then but people say, well, what happens when it's a really close race? And, and fraud is so small a affair, and even cases are few when some elections are decided by hundreds of votes. Scarily, I'll say this, we had a presidential election like that. Holy cow. So, well, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Can you have a race where it does? Yes, I guess. Is there some percentage that they can have? You have 1% if you have 0.1%, and then you put that over the number of elections, the person who voted, or whatever, and the number of people, total number of people, there has to be some mathematical formula. This is where I get lost with the math, see? Ask them something. I can't ask high school kids if they know. They don't. But the mathematical formula, and you find out, okay, so what is the chance? What are the chances in like 1 million, 1 billion, 1 million, whatever it is, of a voter fraud affecting the election? And then you say to yourself, because this is where it happens, then you say, well, then if somebody says, well, that's too great a chance. Let's say it's 1 in a million. That's too great a chance. Well, we take a lot more chances with lots of things where the death rate is more than 1 in a million, but these things are still allowed. Smoking. More than 1 million people are going to die from smoking, but people are smoking. So it gets kind of iffy, you know, how this whole thing works at some point. That's my opinion. All right. I guess condolences are pouring in the National Zoo with a little guy that died, the panda. They gave her a toy, so it can hug the toy, because it's upset, you know, with the little guy died. Even she hardly see it, as far as I can tell. Anyway, the cub had liver abnormalities and flew in its abdomen, but the cause of death is still not known. Results are available in 2 weeks. So they don't know what there's some wrong with the way. That happens. So, you know, we're going to figure out what it was. Now, speaking of doctors and people leaving stuff inside you after having an operation, people nervously wait around in New York City hospitals for loved ones to come out for surgery and can't smoke. And a few months from now, they can't have a supersized fast food soda. And soon, they won't be able to get a candy bar out of the vending machine or a piece of fried chicken from the cafeteria because the latest health campaigns, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is aiming to ban sugary and fatty foods from both public and private hospitals. Now, you say to yourself, you know, this is a guy, his heart's there, it's a heartfelt thing, he's trying to make people healthy and all that kind of stuff. You have to remember, he's a billionaire, And you remember Howard Hughes, who was a billionaire, and how he finally ended up. Now, this could be the beginning of that for you, though. This could be the start of ending up in the top of a Las Vegas casino, moving away. I'm not sure what I'm telling you. I'd watch out. A federal appeals court reversed itself Monday and threw out a judge's landmark ruling that Army Corps of Engineers was liable for billions of dollars in Hurricane Katrina flood damage and property owners blamed on the cross-maintenance of the New Orleans shipping channel. The same three-judge panel from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals and the side of the plaintiffs earlier this year withdrew that decision and replaced it with a new ruling in the federal government's favor. Well, I don't know. I can't tell you possibly what's going on there. And you're not going to know, and I don't think anybody is. Either the Army Corps of Engineers screwed up and it had an effect on what happened during this hurricane, or they didn't screw up and that's not what affected this hurricane, affected the flooding. It's got to be one or the other. This is sort of what we're going to side with the government, which is them saying, well, they're innocent of any wrongdoing. Some of these people flooded out. Anyway, I find that really kind of strange. Okay. That's just me. I'm showing no prejudice, so I understand that. A little bias. Okay. And I don't know what Arnold Schwarzenegger's up to right here. He's been governor after all. The man who never tires of telling people he'll be back returning in London. This time, it's a global policy monk and statesman dedicated to leading the Americas in what he calls a new post-partisan era. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, quite frankly, would be best at just leading more people in the Expendables 3. And just leave them alone. Don't try to get involved. It's not a comfortable place for you. Just do Expendables 3 and leave them alone. Now, I was at VA today, and I was reading a VA magazine. I don't know where I missed this that happened. As we remember, the Supreme Court said that you can, the stolen valor thing is allowed in the United States because we have freedom of speech and all that stuff. And which doesn't make any sense. So you can have this thing right there. So, but now there's a new thing that's gone through the House, started in the middle of the month, that says you cannot have any material benefit. You cannot have any material benefit from something like this happening. So now we'll see where this goes. That's the idea. You can't have any material benefit from it. So if there's money involved, there's some tickets to some place, if there's anything in the whole wide world, you can't have any good. So I which is okay, and I guess that's something. It's not really what I think people really believe should happen with this whole thing. But okay, it's something. Actually, it's just pain to soul. It makes us all feel really bad about the whole thing. But that's it. That'd be it. All right, we have a story coming up here. We have a soundbite about getting bit by your soundbites. I can write a book. I'm worried about getting bit by my soundbites.
Watching Asia's biggest show. This is Soundbites, and I'm Jan Ziff. Reds, yellows, oranges, and browns. It's fall foliage season. And all across America, it's time to grab a camera and hit the road in search of the most brilliant colors. If like many leaf chasers, you're New England bound, here's an app to help you along the way. The Yankee Foliage Leaf Peeper. P-E-E-P-R. The folks at Yankee Magazine came up with this, bringing all the features of their online foliage map to your iPad, iPhone, or iPod. Easy-to-read maps help you find the brightest colors, and when you find them, a quick peep will let you update conditions and share a photo with the whole community. Fall's a beautiful time of year, and it doesn't last long before all those colors blow away. Grab the Leaf Peeper app at the App Store today. With Soundbites, I'm Jen Ziff for CBS News.
Thank you, Peeper Screeper. There's how you do the peeper thing right there. So that's exciting news. Can I tell you this, though, really? When you're doing fall foliage, you can just do stock photos and look at fall foliage, that's really pretty nice. I don't think you really need to get too carried away with it, but that's just me. I could be wrong. Yeah, okay. other things that are happening. They have the thing on the front page of the paper, and we only had it in the Kalamazoo's material this second. I said, who is the aggressor in the bar fight? That's why there's a trial. That's what the jury's going to tell us. I'm not going to presuppose. That's why we have juries. Sometimes the jury tells you something, you know, are you serious? Are you out of your mind? But they have to at least give a shot. Well, I need to get to the gossip stuff today. David Day is going to do something weird. He's going to, October 5th, for a 3-day, 3-night stunt called Electrified, 1 million volts, always on. He's apparently going to get some kind of weird suit, and it's going to be zing, and he's going to be okay. And then this, I got a kick out. I didn't see it, but President Barack Obama is about to show her on The View, and so they show all the good gals from The View on here. They got the movie over Barbara Walters, Jerry Gehart, and then the sheriff. Sure, and then the person that must have been, I don't know how she reacted on it. How did she react to this whole thing? It's Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is a very conservative woman, and I don't know how she was taking it. But I was wondering. She was squirming a little bit. It only seemed to me that that would be over that. Alright. Here's that. We've been talking about this now for, what year is this? 2012?
I don't know.
1776 till now. We have weaning farmers off subsidies, it says. Why don't we start weaning farmers off subsidies? Because the people who represent the big farm states, including California, they want to bring the subsidies and have the farmers and all the agriculture people want and say we love this person because they brought us the subsidies. So that's it right there. Congress can think some more before approaching legislation. The 10-year price tag approaches $1 trillion and is key in innovation is to replace the existing crop subsidies with a costly new crop insurance program that creates all sorts of perverse incentives for farmers. So, you know, if you got a bad situation, you're saying, well, let's, you know, we can screw this up worse. You know? So, I mean, that's what we're thinking about doing. It'll screw it up worse. And you're like, well, we didn't. Is there any way you can prevent yourself from doing it? And they don't know. Okay, Melissa Bailey Brown, she's the one who's the athletic director at Mission Prep. And they say, you know, regularly. This is interesting, you know, there's a lot of people on this Prop 30, I'm going to tell you, just in case you say, well, how many people wouldn't vote for Prop 30 and help the schools? How much money have we thrown in schools? And it doesn't seem to get any better. There's a 43% of the kids can't do math, can't do the SATs. So I can understand what people are doing. Here, I'm going to tell you this because we have a new market town called, let's see, what's the place? Fast and Easy, Quick and Easy, whatever that's called, that little market, the new market on Broad Street. Fresh and Easy. Okay, we talked about these people must make peanut butter for everybody. What did they make my Jif? Anyway, they recalled some of Trader Joe's and others some peanut butter being recalled at also Fresh and Easy. Made by the same people because they couldn't sound the note in there. But there's a, you have to go to the paper because there's a site you have to go to that there's no way, even if I said it slowly 100 times, you're writing it down, you never get. So, maybe just go on and say, just Google bum peanut butter, you know what I'm saying? And probably something will come up and tell you what's going on with those darn peanuts.
WCCT.
We'll build back everything back on the end. 1340 KW Sugar Station at 1:11 exactly. Thanks for sharing Tuesday with me. It's a nice day out, and it's a nice day out. That's all the time. Enjoying our nice fall weather. Although, this morning it was kind of like, you know, having a real foggy, fally, kind of coldish thing. Don't want to rush it. It might fall, but don't rush it. That's just what I'm thinking about there. All right, let me finish them off with the air as soon as I can. Because there's more going on. There's just craziness and unusuality going on in the world, so we've got to find out what it all is about. I'm trying to collect new sources now. I've got myself in here. Say, okay, what else you got, Billy? Well, I got some things I think they're interesting. I got a load of them on this computer that doesn't want anything. Doesn't want to do anything. It just doesn't want to. It just hates it. Hates it. Let me remind you this. Veterans Best Shuttle Benefit Concert coming this Sunday, September 30th, 1:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. 1:30 to 4:30, Louis Arcega and Rio Salinas. And special guests, it's going to be a great show at the Morro Bay Vets Hall at 595 Harbor Street in Morro Bay. And you can look up on Facebook, Ride On Transportation. And then you can call them at 541-8747. But you don't need to call anybody. Just come out and have a good time. Adults are $10, vets are $5, and kids are $12 or $5. They'll be mine. Barbecue and a little thing out there. So, and then great music by Lee Ortega again. So there's an important thing. Now, the celebrities, celebrities are not that careful about removing their tops, apparently. But they're becoming more and more careful about what they tweet.
CNN.
Radio.
Celebrities and social media. That's sometimes an intersection ripe for major crashes. I'm seeing this junior.
I don't drunk tweet, but I think that can get you into trouble.
That's Melissa Rauch, who plays Bernadette on the hit comedy TV series The Big Bang Theory. We talked with Rauch and other celebrities on the red carpet at Sunday's Emmy Awards. Her co-star on Big Bang, Kamal Nayar, agrees with her.
Yeah, I try not to tweet after 10 p.m. after a couple of cocktails.
Now, we're focusing on Twitter here because it's used often on impulse, a shoot-from-the-hip type thing. But it's not just alcohol-lowering inhibitions that get celebrities in Twitter trouble. In 2009, Miley Cyrus had her followers asking, "What's up with Miley?" after a series of tweeted rants about life and love and people not being able to love enough and how she feels unloved and whatever, which reminds me of the Courtney Love rant, in which she calls some fashion designer a, quote, "nasty, lying, hosebag thief," end quote. I can list more. It's like celebrities could teach a class on how to lose your cool in 140 characters or less.
They don't realize that they're connecting to the real world.
Scott Levy owns Fuel Online, a social media management firm. He helps celebrities and companies manage their social media so they don't get into Twitter trouble. Or if they do, he helps them get out of that trouble. He says part of the problem is tweets are often sent out on small personal mobile devices, so the perception is that the audience is small and intimate.
It's actually a larger magnifying glass that you're under, and people don't really think that. They think they're just typing out some stuff, just sharing their thoughts, you know, with a few followers or just a couple people, or maybe nobody's watching, but you're really, I mean, it's a mainstream source, media source.
And some celebs understand that, says Levy, especially when it comes to promotion. William Shatner, for example, limits his tweets to personal appearances and other professional information. Levy says, however, you can walk the line between personal and professional without falling off the deep end. That's what his company does for his celebrity clients.
Shouldn't teach celebrities how to share their personal life with their fans without giving away too much or crossing that line. We do a lot of things that they don't have time to do, like give away signed autographs, you know, things and pictures and, you know, say happy birthday, you know, and something simple like that, tweeting happy birthday to a major fan will make their day, if not month or year. So there's just a lot of aspects of being a celebrity on social media that some celebrities can manage and some can't.
He says some celebrities become a victim of trolling. There are those out there who will slam us in the lab or say something negative or derogatory, trying to solicit a response. It's that response, says Levy, when a celebrity can get themselves in trouble. He says he tells his clients that they have to treat Twitter like a regular media outlet. But they can reach more people via Twitter than a newspaper, magazine, radio, or TV interview.
I tell people, unless you'd say it to your mother, or you'd say it on live TV, don't say it.
Everyone with whom we spoke on the heavy red carpet agreed that the heat of the moment or the heat of the tweet can result in saying things you wish you hadn't. Comedian Jeff Garlin, who stars in HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, wouldn't tell us what was said, but...
I just tweeted recently, this tweet, I regret everything I've ever said. And I think that covers all of it. I screw up everything.
Not every celebrity tweets or uses social media. Ben Feldman, who stars in AMC's Mad Men, is a 20-something non-tweeter.
I don't do it. I know I kind of sound like my dad, and I'm feeling more and more like him, but there's something about... I want to protect something. I don't know what it is anymore, but I kind of like the separation.
That mystery that used to be.
Yeah, and I like a disconnect from millions of strangers. Just a little tiny disconnect.
That disconnect is something most on the red carpet also mention. It's a balance between professional promotion and enough personal information so fans feel they know them, and therefore will watch their show or movie or buy their music or watch their game. Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jeff Garlin says, it's a toy of sorts, but a useful one.
Twitter is truly a waste of time, but it's fun. I tweet non-sequiturs. Sometimes I tweet about a show I'm doing, but in general I don't take it seriously. I never tell anybody where I'm at.
Bottom line, says social media manager Scott Levy, is to think before you tweet. That goes for all of us. And remember, once it's out there,
it's out there.
It's out there forever.
Yeah.
Jim Rome CNN.
That's right, dude. I'll tell you, it's out there. That's it. It's interesting how people don't, a lot of people still sort of don't have a grasp of that. Once it's out there, you're coming back. It's that way. Alright, enough of that. Enough of that. Other things happen in the world, but we have other things to talk about. Fees are up for many checking accounts. Now, if you're a veteran, or if you're a vet, can I say this? I'm very torn between where I bank and this deal, and I just gotta be honest with you, that's Chase Bank. Part of the thing is, the problem is I've never left it since it was Great Western and Washington Mutual and then Chase, but I've been tempted. We'll tell you this though, if you're a veteran, you go into any branch office of a veteran, like a veteran's account, and you get a checking account with no charges, you can get the money orders no charge, you get a safe deposit box, you get all kinds of stuff for free. And for as long as they're keep doing that, as far as I know, they're still doing it, but they'll make sure you check it, in case you're interested. Discover Bank is going to pay millions of civil acquisitions by regulators and pressure credit card customers by costly add-on services like payment protection and credit monitoring. And Discover, the sixth biggest U.S. credit card issuer, will pay $14 million. Sneeze. Yeah, I just want to okay, good. I got to pay $14 million. Refund $200 directly more than 3.5 million customers. So this is Discover Bank, which is serious. What's the thing that we're talking about? Credit monitoring. You don't need to monitor your credit. If someone steals your ID, you're going to know about it pretty quick because you're going to get a bill that's just going to be a monster. You know, you're going to get some kind of crazy bill that you have nothing to do with. You can get a free report every year. I don't get the whole thing on people do. Okay. They're trying to sell it to you, that's for sure. Then they have an airplane for a dream. I'll be the judge of that. Airlines Boeing 77 Dreamliner. They say it's just the cast of pajamas. Instead of being the engines roaring, it purr. So they have multicolored lights in the ceiling that make it relax. They have all kinds of stuff that's really nice. So they're trying to say they have a high ceiling, and they say everybody's really liking this plane. And so even if you have no seat, maybe you like it. This is really important, I think.
already busy so high the steps are built in the base of seats and flight attendants can reach the compartments at the risk of falling passengers, playing most of the largest galleys in the sky. Then there's, depending on the sex of the passenger and the sex of the attendant, there are rows of indoors and falling into them. Okay. Apple said they sold more than 5 million units of iPhone 5 in the 3 days since its launch. 5 million. Now, they said briefly it could have been 10. Jeez, that's a lot of phones, isn't it? 4 million phones in the first 3 days. So they're going to find Apple stock is up. I'm sorry, it wasn't up. I apologize. Apple shares fell $9.30 to $6.97 on Monday. Shares an all-time high on Friday as the full-out sale of $7.05. Yeah, this is because people are just twits. They've been investing in the stock market. Well, I guess it's not Friday morning. It's Monday. It's calm down, Adrian. All right, so let's go on. Here's according to Associated Press, the best way to reduce the federal deficit is through a combination of higher taxes and spending cuts, according to Google Economist. 236 members of the National Association for People that Understand Math and Economy and stuff surveyed the country needs more fiscal stimulus in 2013, but by 2014 it should throttle back. But it's the likely the sluggish nature of the country's economic recovery. So what they say is a combination of higher taxes and spending cuts. Yeah, that would work. I don't see how that would work.
Of course,
that's how we're going now, but fine. Okay. Give it a shot. All right, let's see if I can find my story here. I love these stories. These are the fun stories for the onion. And I think these are a crack up. So I'm going to see if I can bring this up again. Once again, it takes a while. It was maybe the middle of my summer, but I had a sewer to figure out what was doing. So I'm going to try it anyway. Not right now. I'm just pretending in front of you right now. It's not really habitable. But okay. Because we had the sludge to it with care on CNN where you loosened them up. And that's not what I'm after. Okay. This is it. Oh, yeah, here it is right here. So this is another one of these strange and unusual tales. All true. From the onion and things that you just didn't realize.
The Lord answers a Bible camp counselor's prayer for a safe and enjoyable hike. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Teens visiting a local Bible camp rejoiced today after Counselor Theo Dugan's pre-hike prayer for a safe and enjoyable excursion was acknowledged by the Lord Almighty. Counselor Dugan told reporters that God's deliverance of the campers from bad weather, biting flies, and quicksand filled the hikers' hearts with profound joy as they beheld his wondrous creation, the camp's nearby woods.
Out of all the prayers God received that second, he decided to answer mine. That's a good feeling.
This just in the brief time since his prayer was answered, Dugan has suddenly gone mad with prayer fever and is now asking the Lord for immortality, $1 million, and a 13-inch penis. Doyle Redland, Penny Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Oh, that's so funny. That's funny. Oh, my Lord.
Okay.
Hey, ask and show seek and show. Whatever. Yeah, that's quite the deal right there. Okay, all right, okay. Here's important news going on in the news. California revisiting juvenile prison terms. Brown will sign a bill that would loosen sentencing guidelines for the worst offenders. So there's, you know, we got the people that haven't done much wrong. We're trying to find courts for. We have people that have done a bad things. Here's an example we get. Krista Barcalanis was a 16-year-old bicycle that he and a friend one gun between them tried to rob four Riverside teens of their dope. The friend pulled the trigger, killing 15-year-old Thomas Williams, and guilty of 1998 murder and 15 more years to get in prison on parole. He refused to plea bargain, ended up being sentenced to life without possibility of parole. So there he goes to the heart of the villain, just getting around. At one point, he pissed the freedom of juveniles locked up for life against the group of families on about a loss of their life.
The usual.
It's the usual thing that you know, you're like, you know. That's what it's all about. Now, you remember the guy that jumped off the train into the Bronx Zoo's tiger cage enclosure. He said he wanted to be loved and feel love and firmness with the tiger who about chewed off his foot. Anyway, but he said he was able to get his wish and pet the tiger before his rescue, according to the spokesman. So the guy that jumped into the tiger cage was actually happy about it. Let's see, I have to monitor his brain. Okay. You got to really, they say in Chicago, 7 the strike was just the first hurdle. Because the Chicago schools have all the problems in the whole world, like everybody else does. So, do they have a measure? Do they have a measure on the ballot to see if they raise more of the taxes and see what it does in it? Here's a story, and like it's not happening a lot, but it happens, and the problem is that people are honest. I'm sorry, they're just not. That's led to, if you're a veteran and you go to the VA down in L.A., that's led to the fact that you can't, you can only get paid there, and you have to wait till after you have your appointment, and then you have to wait for all the other people that have appointments, and so you have to wait for extra hours to get your travel pay. So I'm going to be very honest with you. I certainly would like the dough because it's expensive to go to LA and back. I can't put up a waiting that long. I've already waited hours already. My brain can't deal with it. But that happened because now, to get even travel pay to Santa Maria, you have to, every couple of months, you have to give them a copy of an electric bill, phone bill, something that shows your address. And why? Because everybody gives people a chance to refuse something and they'll refuse it. So while they say a few times it's happened that some of us have gotten paid twice accidentally, they say it's very, very uncommon, but this has happened. They're acknowledging it has happened. But, okay, the VA for God's sake. I'm sure it has. But then again, if somebody gets paid twice, they should feel obligated. I don't know why I'm saying this, because I know people think I'm nuts, but here, I didn't deserve this check. That's kind of out there, and people's thinking, that's my thing. Alright, other things I'm happy. These two stories should have been side by side. They were on different pages, and there was a story in between the two of them, but they should have been side by side. But I don't lay out newspapers, so maybe that's the problem. Iran vows to expand presence on the high seas, managing to target South Pole international waters off the U.S. coast. So basically what Iran is going to do is do a lot of neener-neener, you know what I'm saying? And say, well, here we are, and nothing you can do about it, and we're off the coast of New York or California, and there's nothing you can do, because we're international waters, and you're going to go down to, the NR and save them. Anyhow, so they're just being, pain in the neck. And then they have this story on the preceding page about a floating fortress referred to as Ponce across Persian Gulf borders as a visible warning to Iran. So this is like an anti-mine ship. And because they figured when they threatened to close the space for rooms, that the way they would do it would be with mines. So we have people sweeping and swapping, and we have warships in the whole area. And it's like there's a lot of. I don't know how many warships Iran has or what kind to flex their muscle. Because their navy could be the equivalent of a 90-pound navy.
You may be exposed to noise while attending sporting events, concerts, dance clubs, bars, health clubs, aerobics classes, auto racing events, fireworks displays, during motorcycle riding, snowmobiling, and shooting firearms. Hazardous noise levels are also frequently encountered in the workplace. Hearing protection decreases the intensity or loudness of noise and helps to preserve your hearing. Noise is all around us in our everyday environment. This has been a public service announcement from Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. I just hope he doesn't take me to someplace I've been a million times. Oh, shoot, here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there. You ready for lunch?
Sure. Where are we going?
I've been dying to try slow brew for lunch.
Okay.
If the same old thing for lunch over and over and over is driving you crazy, stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow. With $3 tacos, your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their peace and love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions. Even their most popular, the Thai Ahi salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
Special alarm that's around their neck that they're not having around their neck. Now they have this new thing to try to keep the stuff from getting in the hospital, and things that just obviously there's an upheaval going on in our state health hospitals, and they're trying to sort through it all. But how well they're doing, I don't really know. But that's the deal, I guess. Okay. You couldn't have taken longer. You tried. Computer. All right. Maybe this computer being dull. Doofus. Doofus the computer. Okay. Still trying to listen. Now, here we have, we're not supposed to have water in the summertime, of course, but we have, according to John, 150 days without rain. That's a long time right there. John Lindsay, 150 days without rain. So I'm going to be the first to step up and say that seems like a long time. That seems like a long, long time, 150 days without rain.
But he has a chart. He says, we've had worse, you know, we've had better, we've had too much, we've had too little. Anyway, he said it's not that far off from average, really, as we live in a Mediterranean zone, which I personally like a lot, to tell you the truth. Now, here's what happened in Morro Bay. This can't be. You got a 47-foot yacht caught fire and burned and everything. The King Kamehameha. They say the things, the crews remained aboard mopping up for hours, more than 2 hours, and fire personnel stayed with the boat through the night during the fire investigation. Fire was an accident most probably caused by, here we go again, faulty wiring. Of course, I don't know which boat this is, the King Kamehameha, but it could be one of those things that's been out there in the bay for, 40, 50 years, just anchored there, in which case perhaps the wiring does start to get a little shabby. You know, things get shabby after a while. Okay. Things get shabby after a while. Okay, you're telling me that you're here, but you're not. So I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so we're just going to worry about it. Not going to worry about it. Oh, wait, it actually moved. It actually responded to the input. Oh, Lord, that's really good. It was a small story I wanted to share with you. They replaced it. It's gone. They took it away, I think. No, here it is. Okay, good. They didn't take it away. But this is in the interest of veterans and stuff, and this is something that may seem very obvious, but it's something it may seem obvious, but you have no idea to what degree. It's hard to fathom the bond between people that have been in war.
CNN.
Radio.
I'm Bob Green for CNN Opinion. Most people at the hotel near the Midwestern Interstate Highway exit hurried right past them. The other guests had places to get to, and these men walked kind of slowly. 10 of them, 10 elderly men, having breakfast together each morning. One of them, Howard Van Schoor, 86 years old, of Mentor, Ohio, told me, "I think this is probably our last reunion. We're getting shorter in numbers." These were the men of World War II's 63rd Infantry Division, the division whose motto was Blood and Fire. 15,000 soldiers in that division had crossed the ocean to Europe and then had fought their way through France and Germany. Some 1,200 were killed in combat. Thousands more were injured, some grievously. Edward Fowle, 88 years old, of Springfield, Ohio, was 19 when he went into the Army. He told me, "This division accomplished everything it was asked to do. Never gave up an inch of ground, literally or figuratively." The men who were lucky enough to make it home from World War II began having reunions in 1947. During the 1950s and 60s, the reunions were jammed, thousands of men and their families. This year, 10 soldiers were well enough to make it to the reunion. At the dinnertime banquets, even with family members and an honor guard present, there were only 35 or 36 people in the room. Mary Fran Collier, the daughter of former Infantry Sergeant Bill Burns, told me, "They would love to hold on to it, but this will almost certainly be the final time. Her dad, 86 years old, said, "It's just so good to see each other every year. You're just so glad to see them." At one dinner, a ventriloquist entertained the men. A combo played songs from the 1940s. "We have something in common," said Dr. Jack Lynn Scott, 86, of Marysville, Ohio. "We counted on each other then, and we still do." The men understand that, in the end, as at the beginning, they have each other. "There is a bond between infantrymen," Edward Fowle told me. "It never dies." For CNN Opinion, I'm Bob Green.
So this reminder, if I may, our Vets Express serves a great number of our older vets that we still have around. And I would, again, remind you that we're going to have Rio Salinas and Louis Ortega at the Morro Bay Vets Hall this coming Sunday. It's going to be at 595 Harbor Street in the Vets Hall in Morro Bay. And it's going to be a great event from 1:30 to 4:30, and remember it's Sunday. And it's only $10 for adults. And it's $5 for vets and $5 for kids under 12. It's like, you know, it's not a lot of money. So we'll hope you'll join us because it's important. It's important for a lot of guys. You know, we have over 200 veterans, many of them seniors, a month that are being served now by the Vets Express. Okay, anything, Katie. I don't need that. All right, get rid of that. That's a problem. When you load this thing up, you know, you load old Burfel up here, and it takes forever to get it right. Okay. Oh, Doofus. That's a Burfel. I like Burfel better. All right. Other things are going on besides the weather and the water and the things like that. We have things that are happening. It backfired. But then I have to tell you something. Remember how computers were going to save us all a lot of paper and all that? And they haven't. I would dare say I cannot not imagine that I'm not using a lot more paper now that I have a computer and a printer than before I had one. Because let's say you just want to get a recipe, you know, you can go get in 5 minutes, you can get 50 recipes. Yeah, you wouldn't have written all those things out before. Your wife said, "Could you give me this recipe?" No, you get it. You know, you've been like that, perhaps. So anyway, that's what I'm telling you about. So they, you know, it's just a lot of stuff going on right there. So I don't know, but I think it's a bigger paper user. So here they're saying data centers for information boom waste energy. Let's try that. Another comment here. Data centers for information boom waste energy pollute environment. Okay, yeah, there should be a comma after boom. Waste energy and pollute environment. So that's what they're telling you about. And I don't need to go farther into that. Worldwide, the digital warehouses use about 30 billion watts of electricity, roughly the equivalent to the output of 30 nuclear power plants, according to estimates. And, of course, a lot of them run on generators. They got extra generators and stuff that run on those things. So it's a whole thing's insane is really what it is. So I just thought I'd tell you that, you know, these data centers, they're supposed to be environmentally friendly. I don't know who said they were. But, you know, every time we think about, what do we call it, the clean business, what do we call it, business without grease marks, whatever it's called. Whenever we get into that, we always assume, you know, that it's going to be good. And that doesn't necessarily have to be. So I think that's part of it. I think it's part of the thing right there. Okay, I had another thing here I thought I'd share, if I can find it, if I can just get it with you here. Okay, I can. So not a problem. Not a problem right there. I'll just go on with our lives. All right. Quarter minutes now before the hour of 2 on this Tuesday with Bill. Well, here was a letter to the editor, and then there was... Well, first I'll do Walter's letter. He says, Phil Dirks wrote a piece in Friday's paper saying how happy he was that someone stood up to the Crested Rodeo clown. I think he left something out of this story. The same clown had made an equally offensive joke or sexist remark about George Bush or Sarah Palin. You can bet your bottom dollar they've never seen the thing about it in that tribute. So this is, like I'm saying, it's political. You know, the joke was originally about Sarah Palin. Honest. That's, you know, it came back way back when she was running. Whether people told it in public or not, I have no idea. I saw it on the internet, so it was certainly being done in private, as private as the internet may be. I'm going to say that he's wrong. I'm going to say that if you, let's say he stood up and said the joke and included Sarah Palin, you know, or included another Democrat, another woman Democrat, that I think that the joke would go over just as terribly. And so Leonard Pitts had his column that said that same hate, same old hate reappears. He said this woman emailed her, Vanessa in South Florida, that said she actually saw a bumper sticker that read, 2012, don't renege. So you can imagine how he went from there and said, are you kidding? Are you serious? I mean, is it possible that people can be this way? Is it possible that people can even do this? And yes, it is, because that's how it is. And, you know, it occurred to me this weekend, I'm watching football, and I said to my wife, I said, you know what's interesting? Look how long it's taken to get, I mean, how long, I said it this way, how long ago should there have been black quarterbacks in college and professional football? How long ago should there have been, in high school, black quarterbacks? But it was always assumed, well, they can't do it, you know. For how many? I mean, forever almost. You know, there was an occasional somebody would get out there and get a shot at it, but mostly not. And now it's becoming, you know, just standard fare, which it should be. And there's certainly very talented people and all that. So, you know, he just you know, gets upset about the fact that, you know, this racism card is always still seems to be below the surface somewhere, just below the surface. And I have to admit, I would, if I was to err, I'd err on the side of his being right rather than his being wrong, because I really get the same feeling about the whole thing. All right, now let's see where we are with we got the here negotiations. That's what I want. I want negotiations for the NFL. Okay, up to the minute negotiation stuff right here with Bill Benica. I thought. It's another up-to-the-minute embarrassing moment for Bill Benica when the computer just sits there and doofus doesn't do anything right. It just sits there and goes, hi, here I am. I look like a computer. I don't ever act like a computer, but I sure look like one. Okay. There's, I thought I actually saw a thing that said about the refs thing, but I'm not seeing it now, so I apologize. I thought for sure I saw it. Okay, now let's move on to other things. Then let's just shuck along here, shall we? And then here's the thing here. This goes with it. I forgot this one. Joe Shepard from Avila said, I'm disappointed with the letter that Gretchen Hinkle Clark wrote describing her perception that people who are taking issue with Barack Obama's potential reelection must be racially motivated. Sadly, Gretchen does not even give credit where credit is due, considering the black man was elected the highest office in the country. Clearly, enough people were not influenced by race and voted for him. I was one of those people who felt confidence in his message, etc.
George, he is a good little monkey and always very curious.
Well, this is a cute story, all right? This is a cute story. That's that thing here again about you can't see what they're talking about. And this is interesting because I mentioned this to you yesterday, the day before. Must have been yesterday because today's Tuesday. That there more and more commercials are doing. Very interestingly enough, they don't really have an announcer that's announcing the commercial. They have people interacting, or they have some kind of music or something like that. Now that's not going to work for radio, as I said, but it's a nice relief from television. Here's a cute story. Nuts. I don't think there's going to be any narration there with that thing. So here was a cute story that it was, and this was about the fact that Carrie Underwood gave a young man on stage. He was attending one of her concerts. So he gave her he gave him his first kiss. Oh, ain't that something? I liked it. I like it. All right. And I'll like the other one if it ever happens and materializes for us, but it may be too late to get to it. Here's a little kid swimming in a swimming pool with a baby alligator, which has to be a little bit too weird. Okay, that's it. Okay. Well, what we want to get a story about is this is not the way most people get a job, but it has to do with a dirty jobs host, and what's how he actually, there was something that was important for him to get the job that he got, and we're going to find out here in 1 second what it is, as we putz along here with Bill.
All right, Mike Rowe.
I'm him.
You are. We're here at Old Town Bar. We wanted to make you feel at home.
Who's got the tab on this, by the way?
We do.
I love it here.
Yes. So, you know, when most people think Mike Rowe, they think dirty jobs. You've had a lot of really interesting jobs, including with the BSO. How'd you get into to singing?
I crashed an audition for the Baltimore Opera. I learned an aria. Somehow I got in.
Any chance you'd share something that you remember from your days in singing?
Ultimately, it was... Vecchia zimara senti, I resto al pianto, scende re sacria montio devi.
Very good, though. Very good.
That's very kind, thank you.
So, after that, you spent some time, I'm sure a lot of people would be surprised to know, at QVC.
My first actual job in television.
The lamp is a little warm. Not unlike lava.
I wandered out of the opera hall, dressed as a Viking. I walked across Mount Royal Avenue into the Mount Royal Tavern to order a beer and watch the ball game. But the football game wasn't on. The bartender, a guy I'd known for years, was watching a big guy in a shiny suit sell pots and pans. And I was like, Rick, you know, can we watch the game? And he said, no, I'm auditioning for that guy's job tomorrow. He bets me $100 I can't get a call back if I go to the audition with him. So I go to the audition, and I didn't get a call back, but I got a job offer on the spot. But it wouldn't have happened without a beer. And that's kind of what helped motivate the Booze Show.
And the series is three parts on Discovery, How Booze Built America.
Welcome back to the American Revolution, brought to you in part by Booze.
Like all these portraits we see in history of the signing of the Constitution and, you know, the landing of the Mayflower, right outside the shot, there's like a keg somewhere.
Always.
There are a couple of bottles somewhere that the painter just did not include. Why do you think we've never heard these stories?
Look, this is the stuff your social studies teacher just didn't tell you. I'm sure when it comes to talking about it to school kids, you know, there's a lot of pressure. Let's just leave that part of the story out. But it's a mistake because, you know, booze was on the Mayflower. In fact, the Mayflower wasn't headed to Plymouth. It was headed south. It stopped in Plymouth because they ran out of beer. And back in those days, beer was the only thing you drink. Once they got into New England, or what became New England, they started building taverns every few miles. There was no Facebook, you know. Taverns were the social network. Beer was the thing that held everybody together.
One portion of the first portion that I've watched that I was amazed by was the national anthem, and that it's actually based on an English drinking song.
Oh, yeah. To Anacreon in Heaven was an old poem, been around for years and years and years, and the tune was, in fact, a drinking song. You know, Francis Scott Key was a lawyer, and he was hired to defend an American who actually gave British soldiers quarter. He and this guy are on a ship drinking Madeira wine, anchored outside of Fort McHenry, bombs bursting in air, the whole thing's going on, when Key writes the Star Spangled Banner.
Mana mana.
Mana mana.
I'm Bill Bega, thanking you for joining me on Friends and Neighbors Network today. Until tomorrow at noon, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye.
Happy trails.